We are yours, O God. And we can also say you are ours as well. You have called us a people, and we too, we call you our God. And so, therefore, this morning, we are sold to you again, and our allegiance is to you again. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for you are the one that always gather us. You are a father that would always meet our home when you gather us. Thank you for bringing us again to this place where you have gathered us. We're happy to see ourselves, but most importantly, we're happy to see you. It's your own face and it's your own presence that makes this gathering beautiful. We give you glory, Father. You're also here with your host. The train of your glory fills the temple. Thank you, Jesus. And you have come with blessings. You have come with blessings. Because you have not called the house of Jacob to seek you in vain. So when they come to the mount of the Lord, they will not go back the same. He also said in your word, you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so that you have called us this morning and that we have answered the call, we know that we will be immensely blessed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the honor, Jesus. Can we celebrate Jesus? Can we celebrate Jesus? We can do better. Can we celebrate Jesus? Amen. You may have your seat. Can you welcome one or two persons? Say you're welcome. We are welcome. I'm happy you're in church today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good to see everybody. I'm happy to see every one of us. It's a pleasure to be here together, right? You know, like I said while praying, it's good to see our faces, but imagine we come and we didn't see the face of the one that called everybody. So no matter the makeup that you've done, what makes the makeup or the dress up interesting is because Jehovah is here. Amen. 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 You know, I remember so many years back, there was a meeting. I don't even know how I found myself in that meeting. And somebody was giving prophecy that the Lord is not here. And, you know, you don't even know where to start. Is it the offering that you will not give, or is it that you leave the place? Yeah, it was serious. Hallelujah. But I'm always happy that, you know, whenever we gather, it's a big deal, honestly, that God himself is here with us. Amen. You know, this morning I want us to just go on a journey. We might not finish the body of the conversation and we can pick it up anytime as the Lord wills. But I want us to start a very important conversation that I feel that we need in this time and in this day. Hallelujah. You know, as much as we're in the day of the Lord, we are also in a reality that we call the last day. Amen. You know, and in the last days, it's recorded in the scriptures that things are happening, things would happen, and things will yet happen, right? So the best place for us to stay is the place of understanding. Hallelujah. So that we can apply our heart unto what? Wisdom. So we stay where we we understand what is happening and how to position ourselves and how to even adjust ourselves many times, you know, at times how to reposition the posture of our heart. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Or before then, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5. Let's read from verse 1, John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. No, 1 John. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know, Apostle John is the apostle of definite words. You know, he's the same one that would say, if you love the word, the love of the Father is not in you. Not like it's there 1%. Not like you are growing, you know, and then the love of the word is reducing, whereas the love of God is growing. It's like he gives it to you, like is it a blue or black, you know, acid or base. There's no in between. So he's saying here that whosoever, because at times we always believe he tells us the things that are very extremely far. Like, for example, you know, if the love of the word is in you, you don't have the love of God. But yeah, he also says, even as little as if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So he's saying, everyone that loves the Father loves the Son. Whosoever believes or believe, can you do it, NKJV, please? No, let's start with believe it. NKJV, please. We might still go back to KJV. Okay, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep what? His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. KJV says they are not grievous. Now, I remember, you know, at times when you're giving counsel to, when you need to also admonish them that it's not what? Burdensome. Yeah, verse 4. For whatever, I think this is where I'm going to, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he, now don't forget, verse 1 says, he who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Then verse 5 now says, if we want to look out for overcomers, an overcomer is someone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are born of God. It says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Here he now says, whosoever would overcome the world is that person that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's go to verse 4 again. Let's read it again and then we leave here. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, we know the components of the world, right? You know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the what? And the pride of life. So it says, if you are born of God, you have the component. You are made of the fabric that overcomes the world. So as someone who is born of God, your overcoming series should be in the continuum state. Like you are made to overcome. That's what he's saying. Because it's a thing of source, what you were born of. So for example, you know, when we look at some players, they say they were born a footballer, right? It's in them. Now, it's not what we necessarily were trained for. Now, that's another conversation. You were born, and many a times you need to know what was put in you when you were made. Because that's even the starting point. He says, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This morning, we'll be looking at overcoming the wiles of the enemy. And like I said, I think it's a very broad conversation. Because even I myself, till about 2 a.m. this morning, like I was still having a lot of download around this subject. Now, we'll look at this in 3 areas. But that's when we read our Romans. That's when we'll be able to understand the 3 categories. But let's read Ephesians 6. I know we also read this in Sunday school. And if you meet Sunday school today, you missed a great deal. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. We're going to verse 17. Overcoming the wiles of the enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on. Can you say put on?
Put on.
The whole armor of God.
Armor.
No, it's okay. It's just that put on. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these are strong people. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. So there's the day of the Lord. There are the last days. There's also evil day. You know, Bible says redeeming the times, for the days are what? They're evil. Now, there are different characteristics of this. It's just one, like it's just a day. Let's look at maybe today, for example. There are 3 experiences in today. There's the day of the Lord. There's the last day. There's also evil day. And the 3 of them has what to give to you. You know, whenever you wake up in the morning and you dedicate your day to the Lord, it's not haphazard or half hazard. You know, it's not something you should not joke with. These three experiences can affect your day. Like at the end of your day, you will know that either of these guys happened to you. Yeah. Yeah, so some people, after the day, they say this is a bad day. Maybe they lost their jobs. Like they didn't plan. They didn't plan that, oh, this thing would happen today. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. Take up to you the whole armor of God, that you will be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, let's run. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. So this is another thing the enemy does. There's the wiles of the enemy. There are also darts of the enemy. Like arrows. Like that. You just know something as you just have strange feeling. And they've shot you an arrow. I remember there was a time in school there. I started having one strange feeling. I was like, I don't know this. I mean, why am I having this feeling towards this lady? I know it's fairy darts. On the taufa. So I quickly went on my knees. And because I didn't have someone I was going to marry then, but I also had to pray the prayer with sense. I said, God, if it's not you, because if I go and pray it out and it's God that put it there. Ah. But we later found out that it was not God. Because, yeah, I had to kneel down and I prayed. Then immediately I stood up from that prayer. The doubt was removed. I could relate with the person very well. So there are also doubts where you were not feeling that way before. You know? So they will not be any offer. That's the enemy's arrow. It says above all, take the shield of faith so that you can withstand, wherewith you will be able to what? Quench, not withstand. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17 and the last verse we're reading here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's see it. I think there's a column there. Okay, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching there unto all perseverance and supplications for all sin. Then towards the end, Apostle Paul started appealing to the saints to pray for him. Now, the reason I read this is, I think it's for where it talked about we putting on the whole armor of God, that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, the first place we read in 1 John was helping us to understand that if we are really born of God, and if we are truly born of God, we should and we will overcome the world. And the thing that we will find in the world is that the enemy has wiles. The enemy has wiles. He has wiles. He has schemes. He has strategies. He has deception. The enemy has wiles. He has arrangements. He has even has institutions that propel or promote his wiles. His agenda, his scheme. There are many industries. I mean, there are so many industries like that. And there are many, many, many places that have been orchestrated and set up to promote the strategies of the enemy. Yeah, I mean, like, there are rich people that they've put themselves to be the engine by which the wiles of the enemy will be propagated. Hallelujah. You know, there was a man's story I read while I was watching. There was a series. I don't know how many of us watched it. Who is a woman? How many of us watched it? So in that series, I found out how the whole perversion in US even started. And it was one man that made a vow that it was going to influence the legislation. It was a psychologist. So he was running a lot of tests. And it was later they found out that he actually modified all the tests. That even the people that participated in the tests that are still alive, they regretted. So for example, there was someone, they changed his gender. So in that test, he wanted to prove that, you know, if you are having that issue, when you change your gender, you'll be fine. But this guy is living in misery. But the guy's agenda was to promote that wiles of the enemy, that perversion. Like, it was his own agenda, it was his own mission. A very old guy. He's not a recent guy, because that's the troubles that even a country like US has landed into. So a lot of people, a lot of systems, a lot of resources are pushed towards the wiles of the enemy. And it will be unwise of us. You know, the reason we're talking about this today is, first of all, because we need to not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, one of the will of the Lord for us is to understand the mystery behind wickedness. Is to understand the component. See, that you don't understand the wicked one doesn't mean you can win the wicked one. You know, some people will say, what you don't know, I know, is a lie. It's a lie. What you don't know can kill you. Did you understand? The Bible says, my people perish for what? Lack of. Yeah, so what you don't know can kill you. Like, you just get to heaven, they'll say, ah. They will not receive you in heaven like that. You know, all those deaths that should not have happened. Yeah. Like, Babi will say, you know, babies carry you away. They didn't. There's no way in the book of life that that's the way you should live. Did you understand? Like, when they want to receive you, they will say, ah. You know, they are not happy, but they are also not sad to receive you. And so we having understanding is so, so important. But we also need to understand the fabric that we are made of. He says, because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are born of God. And because we are born of God, we have the component that overcomes the world. So we are not at the mercies of the world. Like we're not praying and hoping that the world would not be too hard on us. No, that's a weak thing. And so when you look at the wiles, the wiles, like I said, they are the schemes, they are the strategies of the enemy. Now, most, I think even all the resources of the enemy is spent on his wiles. You'll find out in one of the areas we'll focus on today. Like he does this day and night. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Ephesians 5:15, you don't need to go there. Where I read, which is the place of we having understanding. It's so important. It's so important for us because the devil knows that if we don't understand his schemes, you won't be able to put him down. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go to Romans. We don't have time, but let's just go to Romans 8. You know, where we would look at three schemes of the devil. Romans 8 from verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. That's what we've received in Christ. Then he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So overcomers expect conquerors. You know, you conquer territories, you conquer places. You have victory in your own life. You have victory in the lives of people. That's what we are made of. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. Amen. This is a powerful read, right?
Yes,
the life of a believer is the life of an overcomer. It's not a rising or falling. It's not a life of falling and rising. You can have perpetual victories. So the first wiles we are going to look at this morning, which might even be the only one, is the wiles of accusations. The wiles of what? Accusations. No, let me just read the three and, you know, as God would. The second one is the wiles of condemnation. The wiles of accusation. We're looking at the three wiles of the enemy, right? wiles of accusations, wiles of condemnation. Then the third one is wiles of separation. Now, don't forget, it's a strategy, it's a scheme, and is a powerful way of deception. And these three things are very powerful in the hands of the enemy. This is why believers don't win. They are either going through a season where accusation has shut them out of the purposes of God, condemnation has shut them out of the purposes of God, or separation has shut them out of the purposes of God. Let's go to verse 33. Because that's more or less like the only verse we'll be able to touch today. Verse 33 of Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything? Now, when you look at the word accusation, accusation is when somebody says that somebody has done something and they bring you both to a party to judge the matter, right? When they say you have been accused of wrongdoing. Now, first of all, it's alleged. You know, like they say, you know, like the way police say, remain quiet, blah, blah, blah. You know, anything you might say now may be used against you in the court of law. Abi, that's it now, Abi. Yes, and so in itself, accusations are based on fact and belief. Is someone looking at you and he believes a thing of you and then he stands on it and then he raises a charge and then maybe you are summoned, like they serve you maybe a notice in your house that somebody you don't know from Adam. You know, yeah, it's possible. You know, like when we're starting business, somebody says something, make a budget for legal cases. And I was wondering, like, what? This, a company can just wake up one morning and say, who shall we sue today? Let's sue those people for passing our streets. And then there may be a case in court for 20 years and they're trying to argue why you pass the street. And it can be that funny. But it's based on fact and belief. Accusations are based on fact and belief. It's a legal ground that the enemy takes advantage of, actually. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I said that the strength of an accusation is that it's factual. You have facts. No, nobody actually goes through. Before they even strike out a case, they will say, your fact does not have ground. At least you have facts. Now they can say, the guy passed your street to get to his own street. So him passing your street is not actually a big deal. But at least he has a fact that you passed that street. So the court can now try to, maybe you now have your own lawyer, then that will now argue that, you know, this is the way the map of Lagos is, this road is linking this road, blah, blah. Then the court will now say maybe your case does not have ground. It can't stand. And then they kick, they just kick that case out of the court. But this is what the devil uses. You know, the job of the accuser is to mention repeatedly that which would not make you qualified for the job. That's the job of the accuser. Or when promotion is due, the job of the accuser is to say, "Are you ready?" Like, that's the job of the accuser. And he has facts, actually. Ah, is it not you that wake up 7 a.m.? You are the one ready for greatness. Are you ready? Yeah, he has facts. But I like the way he ended this way. He said, it's God that is the judge. But don't worry, we'll get there. Because that's one way to respond to accusation. You immediately understand the court of law that is adjudicating that case. Your father is the judge. So whatsoever he would do with the case is his, yeah, he's the judge. It's God that justifies. But it's not so much about you knowing that God justifies. You know the reason why God will give you justice is because there's an accuser. There is an accuser. You know, he frantically searches for every reason why you shouldn't be the one God should favor. Like, when I say frantically, I mean like there's concerted effort. Amen. Amen. You know, in the life of Daniel, you know, the commissioners and the satraps, they were trying every day to bring a charge against Daniel. So a nice man, don't be nice in naivety. Like, oh, everybody loves me. I used to think that when you are nice, everybody will like you. And these are human beings that foster the wiles of the enemy too. When they lay accusation, they look for what you're not doing well. That's the job of the accuser. The accuser looks for your shortcomings. You know, they call the devil the accuser of the brethren. And when you look at the other, let's go to Revelation 12. I think for more context sake, you should read the old verse, but let's go to verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, you can't be doing something day and night if it doesn't mean a lot to you. It's either that it is effective and potent, or it's just the trap everybody falls into. So devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he's accusing the brethren day and night. You remember when God wanted to have a meeting and he called the sons of God, right? He didn't come and do the meeting they called you for. He brought accusation to Job. That's his job description. Some of us, we think devil rests. He might rest from some other things, but he doesn't rest from this. Like they literally gave him that tag. It was a role that they gave to him, that the heavens gave to him, that this guy is the accuser of the brethren. So you have an accuser. But as much as you have an accuser, let's go forward. 11. No, don't even go there. Don't go to that one yet. So let's quickly look at some scriptures, and I think we would have done justice to accusation. Let's go to Jude 9. Only has one chapter. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dost not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, no, this is not what I want to read. Sorry. Go to 1 Peter 2, 12 and 15. Yeah. But I even think this verse itself, this Jude 9, maybe let's stay there. You know, the contention with Michael and the devil was the body of Moses. And the legal ground was that he had a reason to fight the body of Moses. Like, devil saw what was okay for him to be a right to demand the body of Moses. Now, they didn't go into, I mean, some of us could say, oh, maybe because he smote the rock, he had anger issues. It's only you that know. Bible says he's the meekest man on the surface of the earth. You know, he didn't enter the promised land. Now, whatsoever the, if there weren't an issue, there wouldn't be a charge that is laying claim to the body. I think another example was in Zechariah 3:1, where Joshua the priest, you know, Bible says the accuser was beside him as the angel of the Lord was also beside him. He says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thee iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mite upon his head. So they set a fair mite upon his head and clothed him with garment. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou would walk in my ways. Now, this is one of the ways you also respond to accusation. You walk rightly before God. But we'll get there. I mean, I have about four things we need to do to respond to accusation. Now, accusation is not so much about, forget what the devil is saying. What he's saying is factual. It's not first much about, he's the father of lies. See, if I was selling a lie, the angel would tell him, oh, guy, you are lying. This guy is not filthy. And they won't need to change the guy's garments. And they won't need to say, the Lord rebuke you. That's the expression of the judge. That, okay, you have, yeah, the guy's garment is dirty. You saw it well. Well said. But here is the verdict. Take away his garment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let's go to 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I think this, why I came here, let's read 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, that 12 talked about people that are called evildoers. Now, their job is to bring accusation to the brethren. Now, these are human beings. These are not spirit beings. And so this topic that we're looking at, or this subject we're looking at, is not just perpetuated by the enemy itself as a person. He also uses people to perpetuate this. Now, that's why we have accusers of the church, people who accuse the church. You've always said the church is not doing social responsibility. You know, the church is not helping the poor. The church is not feeding. We are not feeding the poor. No. Like, are we going through the streets handing over arms? No, we are not. Say we have everything they are saying we have done. But it's God that justifies. And so this, the day you do this, you've also assumed the accuser of the brethren that labors day and night. You've also gotten a job that they are paying you salary for. But Bible calls them foolish men. Because they are men without understanding. You don't know that you've taken up the role of the devil. See, friends, don't take accusations lightly. Now, anybody accusing you has an intention. I mean, like, anyone accusing you has an intention. Like I said, the accusation is something you can see yourself. So many a times you are locked up because the guy is telling you something that both of you can see. So a lot of times we are locked up in the guilt because it's real. Accusations are real. They are real. See, the reason why we needed justification is because everything that we did it. Justification is like, okay, Moshe, but Oluwa kileso. Yeah, that's justification. Justification is that we really did. Yes, we sinned. For all have sinned and come. Yes, we did. He says, who is he that can bring a charge against God's elect? Is God that what justifies? You know, there are so many places in the scriptures we see prospective overcomers being attacked by accusation. I mean, see Joseph. See Jesus. See that, like there are so many places where, and the thing is, your overcoming is prospective every day. Meaning today you are expected to overcome, so it's prospective. Meaning you've not gotten the victory of today until you go through today, right? That's what I mean by it's prospective. But you're an overcomer, right? You came into that day with the prospect to overcome. But that you're overcoming is at the mercies of you attacking or appreciating what God would do in responding to things like this. So when God brings you into a day, the enemy wants to accuse you why you shouldn't overcome. And then he brings legal matters. And then if you focus on that, you will receive justification. Now, what do you do to accusation? The first thing is, you know that your father is the judge. That's why I say your father is the judge. Your father is the judge. Your father is the one that adjudicates that case. They brought it to his own court. Your case is not in the court of any other man. Number two, you have an advocate. And I think let's look for that place where he talked about that we have an advocate in heaven. Are we there? I think it's 1 John 2. It says we have an advocate in heaven that makes intercessions for us. Have you seen it? Yeah. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. So they quickly told the sinner man that, yeah, you sinned. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So the Father is your judge. You also have Jesus as the advocate. So he's your lawyer in that court. So that court that the enemy brought the case to, he brought his own legal team. But you are the accused. So your lawyer is Jesus. The judge is your father. So now imagine how that thing will play out. You know, I was also going to say that, you know, for every accusation the enemy brings to you, don't be quick to say, I am guilty. Like guilty as charged. No. So that was what I was saying, that don't focus on the accusation. Because what's the use of focus? You did it. You know, I think I can hear someone saying, oh, is it every accusation that I did? Yes, you did it. There are about times the devil has accused me for what I did not. Yeah, that one is father of liars. But him being accused of the brethren, he saw it. He saw it when you guys passed the back. I remember when one guy accused two of us then in school. You know, we're supposed to do an assignment. And as we got to the club, we found out that there was an assignment. Help your brother. Before we started writing, he just, Pastor! This one that they've accused of, I don't want them. I wanted to quickly write my own from someone's own. Just, Pastor, you do my company. Me and the brother looked at her and said, Shama company. And yeah, we didn't do that assignment. Just let it go. He accused us. Everybody. Yeah, he saw you. I'm serious. He saw you. He knows how you got the result. But the thing is, if you focus on the accusation, you will not move forward with God. You will get stuck with the enemy. He would have fulfilled what he wanted to do. Because he's not the judge. You know, he's the judge that will bring the verdict. So if you keep focusing on the accusation, you won't move forward. You won't move forward. The third thing you do to an accusation is you place your life under the searchlight of the Lord. Now, that's what David does. David knows he did all he did, but he never put himself under the accusation of the enemy. Rather, he would say, search me, O Lord. He didn't say, see, the enemy you have found is here, good one. Good. He said, God should search him. He should wash him. He should wash him with issue. If there be any iniquity in his heart, that's how you live your life when the enemy brings accusation to you. You put yourself under the radar of the Lord, not under the radar of the enemy. Because whether you put yourself under the radar of the enemy or not, he would keep raising accusations. The only one that can help you is when you go meet your lawyer and say, lawyer, I'm going to help you. But Bale, you might help me. Bale, you might help me. So Jesus wouldn't just get you to be acquitted. He will also help you with that issue. There's no salvation with the enemy. So if he raises the accusation, it's not as though he wants to help you. You know, at times, you always see people that find fault in us. They have solution. You say, you know, you're not doing this thing very well. Like they always say, you know, some people, they've built startup with their mouth. You know, people are not building that company very well. You know, when the money comes in like this, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not so much about that he can see that you're not building the company well. He doesn't have solution with him. So you place your life under the searchlight of God. It's Jesus that can help you. It's Jesus that can help you make amends. Then the last one here, but I think even before this, you know, like I said, the idea of justification itself is very, very powerful. You know, Romans 5:9. Can you quickly go there? You know, it talks about that we are justified by the blood. And I really appreciated that verse 11 in Revelation 12 when he said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. No, go to Romans 5, 8. I think 8 or 9. Romans 5, 8 or 9. It says much more. Yeah, 9. Being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, the last thing I have here on how to respond to accusation or what to do with accusation is to live right. Live a life of obedience. Now, your walk with God is your testimony. You know, in court, they want to hear what? Testimonies. They will bring witnesses. Your life is your testimony. It's the one that will stand at the other side. Your walk with God, your life of obedience is the power to speak back to the enemy. Oh, devil, I didn't do it. I did this, Baba. It's not you confronting the enemy over that ground. It's your walk with God, your obedience, your life of obedience is the testimony. He says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So your testimony is powerful. Your testimony brings overcoming experiences to you. Your testimony is your shorty, is your guarantor. See, when they acquit someone, they need somebody to say, this guy will not behave badly. It's your walk with God that is your guarantee that you wouldn't misbehave. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, he said, God forbid. So your walk, you are expected to live right with God. Because your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is not so much about like agidi. Like, I won't agree. No, it's not so much about I won't agree. I mean, we've not seen anybody that they gave a verdict in the court and they asked him for his opinion. Like, so do you want to go to court? And you guys say, no, more law, more law, more law. They will bond you. But your life, your walk with God is your surety to living a life that God would always want to advocate for. And so we wouldn't respond to the accusations of the enemy. When somebody writes an epistle or what I even do on social media, when you write something accusing the church, I don't respond to you. It's not so much about let's give it to the guy or let's give it to him the way he has given it to us. Because like I always say, like many times the accusations are facts. Like they have evidence. They have evidence. But what we do with accusation is that we trust that we can keep looking at the Father who is our judge. We keep looking at our advocate who is Jesus. You know, there's still a lot to look at around maybe condemnation and separation. But I want to say that when the enemy puts these three things together, we won't be powerful people. When he's consistently serving us these three things, we won't be powerful. We cannot take over our world because it would have messed us up. You know, I think there was a place in Final Quest. I really wanted to read that book before I came up, but I wasn't able to. Like, just a refresher. Because I'd read the first, trilogy, I think that's what they call it. You know, Rick Joyner mentioned somewhere where the weapon of the enemy became a brother accusing another brother. So he described it as, you know, the way the enemy did it was he accused them. By pouring, he said there was like something that was pouring on the guys that were already possessed, that were amongst the brethren. And then those now became the tool. Then I started also accusing, oh, this one is not doing it well. Yeah, this one is not up and right doing. And so that became the pitfall for those that were also climbing. And so accusations are very powerful. They are very powerful. But we're not looking at that because we are born of God.
Yes, sir.
We know they are facts, but we are born of God and we are meant to overcome. And the four things that I've mentioned to us, let's keep our hearts engaging daily. Knowing fully well that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Can we respond to God in prayers? Aroshike telegede bo sapaya. Mando bren telegede shikete kap. Aridos eperoshike telegedes. Ambrondo bokotologodo bo shikete legede bo saya. Mando brokotologodo ba shikataya. Arebedusta, arebaduste keteka. Monde benemen kombrege telegede bo shikepa. E robo bo 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 shakapa masokopa e librado shakapa idolo sikepa embrido seketelegede bo sheketelegede bo saya mando brinketelegede mosoko pregede legede. You are the one that justifies. Adibrado shakapadia abrada baba baba ba shakataya ndalagada baya. You know, I want you to know that this morning that the enemy can't do much with those accusations. The best he can do is to raise the accusation. But he says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? You are God's elect. And so that the accusations are true is not enough. It's God that justifies. So you will not live your life under anymore. You will not live your life under the radar anymore. Because the enemy has told you, if you come to limelight, I will publish this. If you come to limelight, I will proclaim this. Oh, Rababa Shaka Paya. Oh, Radabeketa Legede Mosike Paya. Can you pray that God help me to live right? Help me to have a walk with you, a life of obedience. Maro Shekete Legede Mosaya. Manda Bashanga Dabi Osaya Andaya. Embrendo Sike Paika Doshta. Ele baba baya ko seketelege de mosai. Mando brende leketi kapaya ando shakapaya. Brada saya baruste ketelege de esta. Maro di kapaya ando shakapaya. He has called you to live above accusations. He has called you to live above the wiles of the enemy. Adi shoboro kotolege de masia. Mando brende leketi kapaya ando sheketeka. Orodoboko telegede. You are acquitted. You are acquitted. You are acquitted. The judge has declared you justified. The judge has declared you justified. Go and prosper. Go and sin no more. Maro seketelegede mashikapai. Brito sikataya. When those men wanted to pick the stone to kill that adulterous woman. Yes, she was caught in adultery. But the advocate and the judge were present. And so the advocate said, if any one of you has not sinned, let him be the first to cast a stone on her. But Jesus also asked, he says, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? If you focus on accusation, you will not amount to anything. Rise up. Seminu kumanika dastia. Urebeke telegede lagibo shakapaya. Iname kombelita ika bosta. Peruste pekika radibo shatamania. Masoko pelie telegede mo shekepa. Lobreke telegede masopa ika. Ayayayayayayayayayaya. Yes, the past was a fact. The past happened. But look to your advocate and your judge. Mashopadista. Orimenika diga nastieba. Baros tegetelia. Jebebebebeka. Your failures of the past, they can no longer be your focus. They can no longer be your focus. It is God that justifies. It is not you. You wish you could have done better. But no, it's God that justifies. That is why you need justification of him. I am a shokobelia. Sebelike beria sai. Amanama shokoteya. Baro shteketeya. Obrige delegede mi opaya. Oh, da ba 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 ya. Maro bakataya nalabi shokotelegede mosaya. Embrenge delegede mi o shokotologode masika paya. Embrige delegede masokoparia telegede esta. Raba ba 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 ya kateka. Ayaka manana masheke telegede masuka pai. Ayamanana mania tolegede makataya. Soldiers arise. Soldiers arise. Do not be beat down by the defeats of the past. Arise because victory is assured. Imama mashanda igadosa. Mando breke telegede mashegeteya. Eli breke telegede mikopaya. Eina mandosha. Aina mandosha. Yapiro te seketeya. Baros tegeteya. Baros.
enemeka gloria talagada biadosa ebiye telegede mempura bada bishaka telegede oribe be be bold enough to know that the judge is your father, the advocate is your Jesus. Yes, that same Jesus, he is your advocate, he is willing to represent you. Ashemanostai manobe shakata ebregede legede misapa rasakatala gada maste ebregede legede moshekepa ebregede legede moshekepaya. In Jesus' mighty name I will pray. Thank you, Father. That even as a house, you are the judge of GCCC. You are our advocate, God. We would not focus on what the enemy is saying at the other side. We know even the garment that you will replace, it's not the enemy that will replace it. The new garment we need for this new season, even as much as the enemy is accusing us, we live above it. We tell ourselves that we would walk rightly even in this season. We will walk circumspectly even in this season. By this, you will shut the mouth of the enemy. In our marriages, we will look to you alone. We will not look at what the accuser of the brethren is saying. We will do things rightly because our testimony is powerful. Our testimony is powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We even pray that as many that will come to hear this much later, they will yet find victory in this word. Nations will find victory in this world. That even the deliverance of a nation is not so much about what other nations are accusing it of. Is that we will look to the church. We would look to our advocate. And we would live rightly. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I will pray.